I'd like to begin this morning in Genesis, the 21st chapter. And the 9th verse. It said, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight, because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. And all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba." Now here is a difficult thing. Abraham was grieved at the thought of sending his son and the bondwoman away. It was his son. And that was a hard thing for Abraham. And Abraham, I think the Lord comforted Abraham and spoke to him and said, "Be not grieved." He said, "Hearken unto the voice of thy wife Sarah." But it was hard. But Abraham obeyed. He did what the Lord told him to do. The next morning he rose and he sent them away. The scripture doesn't really say a whole lot about the relationship between Abraham and Ishmael. We know that later on that Ishmael came and helped Isaac bury Abraham when Abraham died. Ishmael was there, and him and Isaac both, they buried Abraham in the cave where Sarah was buried. But this morning I'm really challenged with the thought of hard things. Sometimes there's just some hard things in life that we come upon. And I, you know, in this scripture, I don't know if you want to blame Abraham. We know Ishmael came into being, that Sarah and Abraham were promised a son, and Sarah came to him and said, "Well, take my..." So I don't really blame Abraham. But Sarah made the suggestion that he marry this bondwoman, the servant of Sarah's servant, to maybe they could have a child by her. I don't have the answers to all of that. But there are hard things that come to us from time to time in life. And life, I think overall, is good. It's pleasant. It's wonderful. But there are hard things that come in life. There are difficult things. And we want to be willing to face the hard things and to face the challenges. I think about the time that David was sent by his father to take bread and cheese and things to his brothers that were at the battle, and there was Goliath, a challenger. It was an obstacle. It was a difficult situation for the children of Israel. And David was willing to step out and face the challenge. And God blessed him. And that's what I want to encourage us today, is to face when the hard times come, the hard, difficult things in life. There's very hard choices, hard decisions that we have to make, that we would not necessarily just... we want to pray. We want to seek the Lord for His help, His guidance, and His direction. But we don't always... we don't want to ignore and not face the difficulties that come to us. There's difficulties that come through responsibilities. They help us in life. When we take on responsibility, accept responsibility, and I notice in many ways that God deals with us, just like in earlier in this book in Genesis, he told Hagar, the angel told Hagar, Sarah was being hard with her, and the angel told her to go back and submit yourself unto your mistress. And she didn't want to, that was a hard thing for her, but she did. She obeyed. She went back. She submitted herself. But there are a lot of hard things. Abraham, the Lord asked Abraham to go offer up his son in the place that he would show him. And he said, the son that you love. And the scriptures didn't tell us what all went through Abraham's mind. But him being human, I know that was a hard thing for him. And there are consecrations that we have to make that are hard. There are consecrations that kind of go against our flesh, that go against maybe our desires or the things that we want to do. But if we know the Lord is calling for that, we want to obey and know that God will bless us and help us if we step forward to meet the hard thing, the difficulty, or whatever it may be. And God will bless us and strengthen us, and He will help us just like He did in David, and just like in this situation, the Lord blessed Abraham. He blessed Ishmael. The scripture said the Lord was with Ishmael. God blessed Ishmael. And He can bless our situations too. When they get hard or get difficult, He's able to help us. He's able to enable us. And that's what we want. But we can... you know, one song talks about not running from the battle, but face the fight. And the Lord's not asking us to do this in our own strength. He's asking us to do it in His strength and His might. But He does want us to face. And I remember... as a young child, I remember someone, I don't know if it was a message where I got it, but it was like, you take a step towards the Lord and He's going to take a step towards you. And I believe that this morning. Even though it's a difficulty, even though it's a hardship in front of us, if we take a little bit of a movement in the right direction, I believe the Lord can pour in to us. And sometimes that's what it takes, is just a little bit of movement on our part, and the Lord can pour in grace. He can pour in strength. He can pour in help. Some of the hard things are just things that we just don't want to do. Have you noticed that in life? It seems like the things that we many times postpone or put off doing are the things that we just really don't. We know we need to do them, but we don't really like to do it. We don't really care for it, but it has to be done. Somebody was telling me last night, it was actually Jessica's mother, Benny's wife Jessica, her mother, I was talking to her, but they bought a house, and this house had a family of coons living in the attic. And she smelt it. They bought this house. She smelt something was off. So they came in and they pulled out all the carpets. They thought maybe that there was an animal in there before. They pulled out all the carpets. And that didn't fix it. Anyway, she said she saw a mama coon come down, and there was some baby coons following right behind her. Well, somebody had to get up there and get those coons out. I don't know if they got them out when they came out and blocked the entrance of getting back in. I don't know how that was done. But they had to go up there and get all the insulation out of that attic. And then they had to spray this stuff that would kill the odor in the attic. Then they had to re-insulate the attic. It was a big job. Somebody had to do it. And anyway, she said it smells nice now. It smells good. A coon in the attic can be a big problem. But there are just things that happen in life that rise up just like that. It's just that occur, that demand our attention, that demand something. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it was hard. This lady, Jessica's mom, paid a big price to get that done. She paid a large amount of money to have that taken care of. So it was a hard thing for her. But they were able to do it and get it done. There's always hard things that we don't like, and if we're not careful, we can avoid them to our detriment. We can avoid making hard choices and hard decisions. We can postpone, and usually it gets worse when we take that route. I know there are some things that the Lord can take care of for us and help us, but I noticed in the Christian life that the Lord does want us to face responsibility, and He wants us to follow the path of being responsible and dependable. And the Lord does, there's growth in that. There's blessings in that. But hard, you know, I think about raising a family. That's a hard thing. Raising children. That's a hard thing. There's There's pleasantries. There's good times. There's wonderful moments. There's good occasions. Their children are blessings, but they're also hard. They're hard. They're hard to take care of. Kara's little baby, it's food on demand, regardless of the time, you know. I'm hungry. I want to be fed now. But that makes a person. That helps a person. We grow in those situations. And when they get in their teens, that's a hard time. That's a difficult transition. And Lord, help us. Lord can help us through all those times. But there's just, maybe that's why people aren't getting married today. Maybe that's why they don't want to get married. They don't want the responsibility. They don't want the difficulty or the challenge to face the challenge. But the Lord wants us to face the challenges and the difficulties today. There's another saying. It says, I think I've said it before, but it says, life is hard by the yard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. Now I want to clarify this just a little bit this morning. Sometimes inches, sometimes incremental inches can be hard, can be difficult. But I get the message of the thought is that if it's something, a task or something can be broken down into smaller parts, and I'm able to do this little part here, and then this little part there, and then this little part. It's hard by the yard when you think of the whole thing at once, but if I just take it a day at a time and do the small things that I know to do, it makes it a lot easier. And I agree with that, even though the inches sometimes can be very, very painful and very, very difficult. But the Lord can help us to inch. Sometimes we have to inch forward. Sometimes we just have to make the smallest moves. I think about discipline, the training, the discipline that people have to go through. You know, when you join up for the army, they don't let you do whatever you want to do. If we always just do what we want to do, then it's going to create weakness. And I believe in the Lord's army, the Lord exercises us as well. The Lord has a boot camp. He has things that we have to undergo, trainings and things that He wants to teach us and show us. But it's preparing us. It's strengthening us. Discipline, just that word, but it's like, isn't that disciple? Discipline and disciple, discipleship, following Jesus through the taking the good and the bad, taking the pleasant and the unpleasant, being a part. I remember that one occasion where Jesus talked about, He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no life in you. And they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? This is a hard saying, who can hear it? I wondered, did they understand what He was saying, and meaning it was hard, or was it just difficult to understand what He was saying? But many times people quit when it gets hard or difficult. And that may be the path of our next blessing. That may be the next blessing, may be just right behind the difficulty or the path that's in the path there. But he said many of his disciples, many left him and they walked no more with him. It was something hard. It was something they didn't understand. You know, they could have took him aside and said, "What do you mean by this? Will you explain this?" You know, if they weren't comprehending, "Will you explain this to me?" And the disciples did that different times. You know, they heard Jesus say things that they didn't comprehend, and they asked him later, "What were you really referring to? Teach us what is the sense of your meaning here?" But these they just walked away. And we won't want to do that. Hard things. There's hard things. Sometimes it's perplexing when we the situations that maybe the Lord has allowed us to meet, we question, it's a hard, "Lord, why is this? Why that? Why did this happen?" All hard in our minds to comprehend why the Lord did that. Or maybe I feel like sometimes, you know, he told the Apostle Paul, he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Saul was doing what he thought was service for God. He thought he was serving God. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. But he wasn't. And it's interesting to me how Jesus spoke to him and said, "You're making it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard. You're making things harder for yourself by what he was doing." And when I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, Saul's heart was probably growing continually harder and harder the more he fought against the innocent, the more he was fighting against God's people and putting them and dragging them off and separating their families and consenting to their death. His heart was probably getting, not that that was the sense what Jesus was referring to. He said it's hard to keep, but it was. His heart was growing harder. He was making his life more miserable. Sometimes some of the things that we do is making it harder on ourselves, harder on us. Especially when we take our way and we do things our way instead of what the Lord has for us. But hard things, we want to be challenged in our life. Our flesh likes the way of least resistance, easy path. Easy traveling, easy course. But sometimes the Lord has some hard things for us. Have you ever found out some lessons in life are sometimes hard to learn? Or is that just me? Why didn't I get this 15, 20 years ago? Some lessons are hard for us to learn in life. Sometimes we're just tunnel vision. Sometimes we're just, this is the way it is. Now I can make it hard on myself. I could go home this afternoon in the hot of the sun and go out there and try to dig a big ditch to discipline myself, to make myself. But I don't think that would be wisdom. in my 60s to go out there and dig a big trench or a big ditch. Now, I could go get me a little backhoe and go out there and dig that. That would be... So it's not just the hard things by itself. I believe it's wisdom. God wants us to use wisdom. He wants us to pray for wisdom and seek wisdom. But when there is a difficulty, Lord, help us to be willing to do what we can to face it and to seek the Lord's will concerning it. And do what Abraham did. He followed through. He did what God wanted him to do. I think our culture, our day, and our time, the conveniences that we have, the means that we have as a whole, I feel like in many ways, many respects, it has softened us. People have had to endure a lot more hardships in life in ages past than what we have had to endure. And I think in some degree that has kind of softened us from being able to take full responsibility, more responsibility. And I believe that works against us. But Lord, help us to find ways and be able to have our boot camp where we're enduring some hardships, enduring things. We're learning, disciplining ourselves, not just doing what the flesh wants, but disciplining ourselves in the way of the Lord that will add strength, greater understanding, greater victory in our hearts, in our lives. And I believe the Lord wants to help us. He wants to bless and help us. And we can learn, you know, learning new things, that's hard too. To learn something new that you haven't done. And I like to call a learning curve because it takes time, it takes effort to learn something new that I haven't been exposed to or something that I don't know. But it's a blessing when I do learn. It's a blessing when I'm able to grasp a new skill or a new tool or something that I hadn't done before. It's a blessing, and it works. And it just seems like it expands a person, their experience. It expands. But hard things. There's hard things. How about acknowledging when we're wrong and saying, I'm sorry? Is that hard? It's kind of easier just to ignore it. Just try to forget about it. But to confront somebody and look them in the eye and say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. That's hard. That's hard to do. The flesh doesn't want to do that. But it's good. It's a good thing. It's a blessing to us when we're able to acknowledge, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? And we're able to grow. We're able to grow from it. Sometimes acknowledging the truth about who we are and our weaknesses, our strengths, our weaknesses, that can be a difficult thing to, you know, acknowledge the truth about us. But all these things work for our good and for our benefit and for our blessing. I want to get another scripture in the book of 2 Samuel, and I'm going to 2 Samuel 3. I'll give you a little bit of the background. I'm not going to Abner was a captain of the host for Israel, for Saul. Joab was a captain of the host for David. David met with Abner. They had a meeting. God was trying to bring the two kingdoms together. And they met together, and Abner left, and Joab heard about it. And Joab called for, he told David, he said, well, didn't you know he's a spy? He came to spy us out. So Joab sent a messenger after David. And David, Joab sent a messenger after Abner. Abner returned to Joab, and Joab took him aside and acted like he was going to talk to him privately. And he killed him. He smote him with the dagger. And one place, I don't know if it's in this chapter, one place said Abner didn't really take heed to the sword or the knife that was in Joab's hand. Now, before that, going further back, they were in battle, and Abner was fleeing from the battle, and Joab's brother, by the name of Asahel, was chasing after Abner in his chariot. It said Asahel was light of foot. He was a very swift runner. But he was chasing, he was pursuing Abner, and Abner called back to him, and Abner knew who he was. He called his name, and he said, go smite one of the younger men. Go smite one of the younger men. He said, turn aside. Quit pursuing me. Go smite one of the younger men. But Asahel didn't. He didn't take the warning. And Joab smote him. Not Joab, I'm sorry. Abner smote him with the hinder part of his sword behind him. And it killed him. This is Joab's brother. Abner was the man that killed Joab's brother. And so Joab is taking revenge here. But I want to notice here, in verse 33, it said, and the king lamented over Abner, this is King David, and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David swore, saying, so do God to me, and more also if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people in all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. When Abner slew Joab's brother, it was in battle. This, when Joab slew Abner, was a time of peace. There was no battle going on. And it was a great disrespect, a great grief, because David respected Abner. David thought a lot of Abner, and David wanted to. Abner was working on bringing the kingdom that was under Saul to David to bring them together. And then here this man is a key player in this whole thing is smitten needlessly. And it was because of Joab's revenge, because of his hatred. And David wanted all the people to understand that that was not his purpose and his mind. But I'd like to read a little bit more. It said, "For all the people in all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness." So it's like Joab took things, he didn't ask the king, he just took things into his own hand. He judged according to his own deal. And David, it was a sore spot. It was a... Now, the king had power in those days. They didn't have to have court. They didn't have to have trial. The king could order the death of anybody he wanted to. He could slay whoever he wanted to. But he said, "These men of the sons of Zeruiah be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer." It was almost like he was committing the situation into the Lord's hands. It was almost like this is a very difficult thing to deal with. If he took Joab out, he may have done more harm than good. I don't know. But he committed the thing into God's hands. And I believe sometimes there may be circumstances where we have to do that as well. If there's something that's above and beyond us, we may have to commit the thing into God's hands and allow Him to work it out. But we want to do the best we can to follow the Lord and allow Him, even though things... And I've often wondered in the Scriptures, many times there was... people were coming back to God and... it was like the Lord was blessing and helping, but there was always this little phrase in there that says... But they still worshiped in the high places. You ever remember that, reading that? I think it was, I don't know if it was in the days of Josiah or not, but it was in a lot of the good kings, but it said there were still the high places. And I guess I see that a little bit more clear now that I'm older. Maybe than when I was younger. But it's almost like those places where the high places, to me, it's like it's representing great, great difficulties to eradicate it, to get rid of it. And it said the high places remained. And Lord, help us in our lives to follow the Lord with all of our hearts. We don't want to... I'm not sure how to say this. We don't want places like that to remain in our lives. Places that we should get victory, that we don't have victory. We want to be able... through the Lord's help, to conquer And I believe we can by the grace of God. There's victory is promised us. The Lord will help us. But many times we have to move. We have to make a little move in the right direction. And God, I believe, will meet us and help us in the process. And He'll bless us. Difficult, hard times. Another scripture he mentions, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I believe life overall is good, and I don't think God wants us to just make things harder for ourselves, but when the hard times do come, or the difficult situations, we do the best that we can. But we may have to endure some things. We may have to go through some of those difficult places, but God will be there to help us. I'm confident of that, that He'll be there and to help us. Hard things, help us, Lord, to be willing to face the hard things in life. Appreciate your attention this morning.